All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm joined with a very, it's going to be highly, highly interesting. I know that it's going to be groundbreaking stuff that I'm bringing here. It could be controversial, but I'm with Monica B, who is married to an MK Ultra satanic super soldier that was actually an active shooter at a stand up with the police. For 7 hours, a seven-hour standoff. He was 12 and a half years in the Marine Corps. And this just goes on and on and on. And there's so much to talk about here. We're going to talk about some of his prior missions. We're going to be talking about even the Kandahar Giant that he had some kind of knowledge about, which I find very intriguing, very interesting, because I've had Ellie Marzulli on about that. The Kandahar Giant has always been so intriguing to me. Monica B, thank you for joining me on Nino's Corner.tv. I'm hoping to put this on YouTube. I call it FluffTube. So hopefully we can make it on YouTube, depending on what we talk about. But super soldier. First of all, thank you for joining me. And what is a super soldier? So for my audience can catch up.
So there's different definitions of a super soldier. So there's super soldiers that are military trained, raised in an SRA family. And they are raised to be assassins, you know, and have different positions. So others are trained in an SRA family. They don't go into the military, but they have a different.
What's an SRA family?
An SRA family is satanic ritual abuse.
Wow.
So, yeah. So my husband was born into an SRA family. I believe that his family is a part of it. And I have a lot of evidence as to why I am saying this. So his father died right before he was born, I think 2 months before he was born. And his mother took the baby and went into the satanic cult under the guise of a Christian church called Bethel. And
Wow. Okay, so hold on. This is when he was a baby.
Yes.
His mother quote unquote saved him, thought she was saving him, taking him to a Christian church, but it really ended up being a satanic cult.
That's not what I think, David. She was actually in Vietnam as an Air Force veteran. There wasn't very many women in Vietnam if you weren't a nurse, you know, a doctor, a nurse or something, right? So I have questions about what she was doing in Vietnam at that time. Now, in breaking down everything detailed as to the evidence I have of this, I am now believing with evidence of, you know, people that know of, you know, how this all works, is that she was most likely a part of this. And he was assigned for this position from birth.
And I just want to clarify one thing. Like, you're of sound mind. You're a sane person. The stuff that's happening, you don't have any problems like schizophrenia, nothing like that, right? We're dealing with a very sound, sane person when I'm talking to you, correct? I want my audience to know this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you're not looking for attention, nothing like that. This is just about mm-hmm. your husband being, hey, you're coming clean with it.
Yeah. True. The information I know and I have discovered, yes.
And especially now with these mass shootings that are taking place, have been taking place, and are getting ready to escalate. Yes. And we'll go into that. You're saying that those are going to be activated sleeping cells that are going to be dealing with the frequencies. And we'll get into that later. But your husband served 12 and a half years in the Marine Corps, right?
Correct.
Okay, so let's start leading into there. So, because this is, to me, this is so fascinating. So fascinating. Go ahead.
So David, I want to tell you before we move on to the military stuff, my husband was always honest. He said that he escaped the cult, the satanic cult, at 15 years old, and that he had been trained to take down Christian churches, okay, from the inside, infiltrate. So there's a lot of stuff that
as a child, he was trained to take down Christian churches.
Correct.
Infiltrate them and take them down.
Yeah. And you have to understand that there's a backstory to my childhood as well, and why I was, I believe, groomed to be, you know, where I'm at now. So, and the events that took place. So he was always honest with me about that. And, but the whole thing is that he escaped the cult. And I believe that my husband didn't want to do those things, right? Because he was telling me, you know, like, I escaped the cult. I don't want to be, you know, but they were training me to do da, 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 you know, kind of thing. And so I knew of that. And because of my childhood and my background and my abuse, I was like, oh, well, of course he doesn't want to do those things, right? So, you know, we got out of the abuse we were in. So anyway, it was just crazy. And then, after about, let's see, it was in the 90s that he went into the Marine Corps. He had gotten into some kind of trouble, and his family knew the judge, and instead of going Army, they said, no, you're going to go into the Marine Corps. So he became a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps. He was in 12 and a half years, and we calculated about 6 years of that time was all firefights. So he was on the front lines. He was in a very highly engaged combat unit.
So this man had massive PTSD.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So he's also Purple Heart. So he was shot in Iraq.
Okay.
So during his time in the Marine Corps, he just excelled. He, you know, planned missions. He was involved with, you know, when 9/11 went down, and, you know, he had been all over. He had been to, you know, Afghanistan, Haiti, Iraq, you know, you name it, Philippines, on different missions. He was part of an anti-terrorism battalion, and he was involved in taking down Aristide in Haiti. He had a lot of training and a lot of exposure. He had, you know, experienced firsthand knowledge of the firefight with the special forces on Kandahar Giant, which is all over YouTube now.
Yeah, people, you can look up the Kandahar Giant. It was supposedly, what, 12 feet tall? Something like that. 12 to 15.
Over 15, I think, believe.
Over 15 feet tall.
Yeah, 13 to 15.
It was in a cave, took out like two special units in the right? In Afghanistan, was it?
Yes. It was in the Kandahar area.
Right. And I've interviewed Ellie Marzulli on this, that said, yeah, this really happened. This Kandahar Giant had six fingers, six toes. It was enormous, weighed about 1500 pounds. Right. They estimate it was helicoptered out of there after they killed it, but it took out completely sweeped an entire unit, just destroyed them.
Yep. And it killed a special force, soldier.
Right. Yeah. And so this is like, that's a whole nother story for another day, but your husband had firsthand knowledge on this?
Yeah.
Okay. But he wasn't involved in the fight, correct?
No. He was in a unit close by. And so him and his NCOs knew that there was an incident going down, and everybody was to prepare, you know, because they didn't know what was going on, you know? So yes. And then when he was in Iraq, they had missions on the Haditha Dam, and that area is known, that's tied to the Euphrates River. So we're talking biblical as well here, that there is a lot of buzz that the fallen angels God has chained are in the Haditha Dam.
I have heard of that. Right. Yes. I can't remember I talked about that, but I heard the same thing.
Yeah. So my husband's highly engaged, you know, combat unit, they didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't want to go down there. It was horrific. The things that they heard and the just eeriness of the place, they did not want to have to go into that dam.
So they were going to go underground basically and fight.
Yeah. Yeah,
that goes with a lot of guests that I've had that talked about the tunneling systems that are underground, the satanic rituals that go on under there, that it's all different hybrid beings and giants, right, that are down there I guess you could call them the, well, we could call them now the fallen angels, but they, that's where they do sacrifices and rituals and things like that. And it's just horrific.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband also ran the security detail at the Kabul embassy. So he was very upset when the Kabul embassy fell. So this past year. So yeah, that was really tough because, you know, he had bloodshed over there with his men. So.
All right. So go ahead and continue.
Yeah. So then he was shot in Iraq under an ambush fire, which he had a premonition. My husband always had premonitions. And one of his premonitions were that they were going to get hit. And he approached his superiors and they told him, absolutely, we're going in. So he went in and then he was shot that night. And So he's got, you know, very extensive military training. And so the events that happened after we had his son take a gun to school, and he was stopped by the police, and he had a firefight with the police.
Hold on. His son, do you have a son? You two have a son?
My stepson, his son.
Got stopped going to school. He was going to school.
Yeah.
With a gun.
Correct. Yeah. So the kids at the school, at the high school, saw him and they did the right thing. They contacted the authorities. The police came out. This happened in 2014 after my stepson was hearing voices. He took the gun to school. So I am here to tell you that I'm sitting here right now telling you that God was all over this and nobody was killed. He's still in prison. He's serving a 13-year prison sentence because
this is your stepson.
Correct.
Okay. Because of the incident at the school. He got caught with a gun. He was getting ready to shoot up the school.
Don't know what his plans were, but yeah, I mean, it looked that way. And what happened was some of the students saw him. So he ended up at the adjacent park. And then the cops approached him and he riddled the police car with bullet holes.
The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, I'm guessing.
and that was in October 8th. 8 years ago, and now we're talking about my husband's event on October 31st of this last year.
On Halloween.
Correct. So I'm being I'm being as honest as I possibly can.
Yeah. That's fine.
It's just you put all the pieces together, you know, there's just no mistaking what happened.
Okay, so your husband spends 12 and a half years in the Marine Corps. And then I guess he's out and has severe PTSD. What happens from there? Because I know he has a massive standoff with the police. He is an active shooter. He was shooting at the police, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So go into that.
So October 31st, actually it started on October 30th. He calls 911, and God, I have to give my testimony here.
Go ahead.
God told me that I needed to get out of there. And so I had removed myself, not knowing anything was going to happen, and went to a hotel, and God had stopped me at the door. And we have to go into the details of the week of the shooting to really understand.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and just share my slides here. Oh, sorry. I did it again here. One second.
Hold on. Now this is the week leading up to the shooting.
Correct.
Or yes. the standoff with the police.
Yeah. And then we will get in deeper. So, but who's I got to start somewhere. Yeah. So. Hold on. Okay. So we're going to go over the events leading up to. Okay. So on October 23rd, and their significance around what I'm showing you now is to prior events that were happening that I'm tying together with this. Okay, so on 10/23, he approaches me. He has a rifle, and he's going out to the car. I'm coming home for lunch, and you know he's gone to shooting ranges, so you know didn't think anything of it. So he pulls me aside. He's like, "Come here, I want to talk to you really quick." And he says that he's a part of the Grateful Dead. He's been on a mission to protect me. And that don't be sad when he's gone soon, but he's going to go be with his men. And he starts talking about veils, like, let me see what he's exactly saying here. Yeah, so he started talking about there's a shift in the veil.
Okay.
And then I'll show you here the text messages that I started receiving.
Now, hold on. The Grateful Dead, those are all military operations. When he says, or CIA, military operations, like Grateful Dead, when he said something, that means that was an operation within the CIA. Is that what he's saying? Or is it actually the group? Or
So after doing my research, the Grateful Dead is a juridic cult. And also the music band Grateful Dead.
Right,
but
right.
They were involved with the CIA.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Okay, and then you listen to the songs that he was texting, you know, he had in his journal and stuff. It's like, it's crazy because he never listened to that kind of music. So for him to be having these, you know, these songs quoted in a journal that, you know, I'll get into was just crazy. So here he's saying, apparently there's something going on behind the veil. There's something big about to happen. And so he's just talking very strange. And this was just a couple days before the shooting.
And this is October of 2021?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then he starts, he's starting to just act very strange. It's like the invasion of the body snatchers around this time. And there's more events leading up to that. So he's just, he's talking weird. He pulls me aside at lunch and on the 28th, and he tells me, you know, he's part of the Grateful Dead. He's going to be gone soon, all that. Right. So then I go back to work and I'm like, what is going on? Right. So I go back to work and then I'm on my way. I'm running late and I contact him and I say, you know, I'm going to be home a little bit later. And this is when the shift comes. He says, "That's okay. We just want you to know that we love you and we'll see you when you get home. We're waiting for you to wake up." And I'm like, you know, cause like I'm at work, so I'm like half paying attention to that, you know, yeah. Okay, I'll see you when I get home, you know, kind of thing. And so that same day that he had gone to his, you know, we were sitting in the truck when he told me about this Grateful Dead stuff. And he told me that he was going to go check some stuff out and that he'd be back. And so I think somewhere in the text, it says, "Oh, it didn't pan out, you know." So whatever he was getting instructions to do, you know, he was following.
Okay.
And so then it gets really strange. So then I get home and my door is wide open. That's not like my husband at all. And I can hear him talking. He's having a full conversation. And I'm like, "What is going on?" And I walk in and he's like, "Oh, hey, hun." And I'm like, "What's going on? Why is the door open?" You know? And he's like, "Oh, well, I've invited everybody over. Everybody's coming. We're going to have a party." And he's just acting like not himself. And I'm like, "What?" And he was talking on his headset. And I said, "Who are you talking to?" And he said, "My mom." And I my jaw dropped. And I said, your mom? Your mom has been dead over 5 years. No, she's not. She's right here. I'm talking to her. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Where am I?
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what to do. I was just kind of shaking at this point. And he was like, it was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's all I can describe.
So you knew like that was your husband, but that wasn't him. That was like, he's been taken over, like demonic possession, maybe.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And he went into the bedroom and I could hear him talking. And he said that, no, that's okay. She'll understand when she wakes up. She just needs to wake up. And they're laughing. And I'm like,
who's laughing?
Whoever is on the phone with
her. You could hear him. You could hear them laughing.
No. I could hear him laughing. Yeah. Sorry. I could hear him laughing. And so, you know, but he was obviously having a conversation laughing with them, you know, if I could describe that.
Right.
So he comes out and he's like, hey, we're going to go for a walk. Do you want to come with us? And I said, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't go. And so then he starts getting into that his dad is alive. His mom is a part of this Telegram cyber group, and her name is Cosmic DJ. And so this is where I need to lead into the other things that happened a couple months prior.
Okay.
In August, in August, my husband started doing cybersecurity training.
Okay.
And then it also in August, he starts doing the Rasha light therapy treatments for his PTSD.
Okay.
And so there's a whole story on what the Rasha is. And then also he became a part of a cybersecurity group on Telegram. And this cybersecurity group started coding messages to my husband, which I have the proof of, and they started telling him that he was going to be a key figure in this great awakening, and that they were slowly revealing what his job was going to be. So then the Rasha is coming to a town near you, and it's actually taking dark matter. The Rasha means dark matter body, which sounds like Venom from Spider-Man to me.
Right.
And they are using this technology. They have this technology and they're using it on whoever wants to do it. So there's like a lot of key factors here that kind of bring everything and all the evidence I have, you know, for the statement.
So leading up to this firefight that he has with the cops, you're starting to notice his behavior is getting weirder and weirder and stranger and stranger.
Yes. So here he is on the walk and, you know, I'm going back and forth with him trying to figure out.
You're saying, who are you with? And he goes, my mom and dad. So he's walking, who are both deceased, correct?
Correct. Yes.
We're on a walk talking. Oh boy. Okay.
And I'm like, how are they there? And then he's saying, you know, I'm talking to them and my mom is Cosmic DJ. Come be free. You are forgiven. You know, all this weird stuff. And I'm just like blown away. I'm just like, what are you talking
about? Who is Cosmic DJ?
Cosmic DJ was a member of that Telegram cybersecurity.
So was this person talking to him like their mother, like it was his mother?
That's what he believed. Yes.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So that's what he believed. Now then, as you can see here, he starts quoting Gematria. And he's in the desert, in the middle of the night. Who is going to quote and send Gematria pages of it? I have pages. This is just a snapshot for you guys to see. I have pages of Gematria.
Okay.
So I'm trying to convince him. I'm like, this is not, you are being programmed. This is not, these are demons you're talking to, you know, fight, right? So So then let me go into what I was talking about, the Telegram group. Okay, so here he starts the gematria here. Okay, technology skull is real. Okay, this has been around, a technology that the CIA, MKUltra, you know, all that stuff, they use, they know. They use frequencies and sounds. Okay, so Jesse and I went into this and she confirmed that the whole thing, this is a member of the Telegram group.
Okay.
So this here was after the shooting, and it's basically saying in code that our plans fell through, come back to base. Okay, so another key thing was my husband at 16 years old, his girlfriend, Miriam, as you can see here, Miriam, was killed in a tragic car accident in front of my husband. My husband was there.
Oh, wow.
So here we have Miriam as part of this Telegram group.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So there's a lot of reasons.
Well, obviously, whoever this Telegram group is, one person's playing like their mother and another one's playing like his girlfriend.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I mean, there's,
I mean, that's how I see it. I think they're, I mean, whoever this is, whoever this group is,
yeah,
they're, one's pretending to be his girlfriend and one's pretending to be his mother, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And
pretty sick.
He showed me later a picture of Miriam and it looked exactly like his girlfriend. And he's like, Monica, this stuff is real. It's real. And I'm like,
do you have the picture?
Huh?
Do you have the picture?
I don't have the picture anymore. They removed it. So, okay. Yeah. So it was removed shortly after.
So it did look like her. So obviously, so this whole Telegram group was set up to just, I mean, too cool. I don't know. This is crazy.
Yeah, no, I've been reading The Black Awakening from Russ Dizdar.
Okay.
And this is a great read. It's a scary read, but just know that God stopped everything that they were planning to do twice. Okay, so I have a huge testimony of, you know, what transpired and how God protected me in all this.
So okay, so let's get back to this
information.
All right, so he says, I am here. I told you, you can't move when I am searching for my dad.
Yeah, so then he starts talking about Trojan horse and, you know, it just gets stranger and stranger. So
all of this is leading up to the stand up with the cops.
Yeah, so here he is in the desert. Okay, we're having this conversation. So he's, you know, he's starting to just, you know, talk about having a human experience. He's the darkness that consumes evil. I am the Punisher. And then he directly says that he's a super soldier in one of these texts. I don't know where it is. So, yeah, I'm just kind of giving you guys the high level of this. And so
tons of red flags are just, I mean, he's obviously, to me, this sounds like a very sick person.
Yeah. Yeah. But because of all the evidence I have, you can't, this is not mental illness.
So this is like MKUltra stuff.
Yes.
You're convinced of that.
Yes.
You don't think that he's just cuckoo.
No. And Jesse and I have done a real deep dive into this. And she sees a lot more than I do about this kind of stuff. And she's confirmed that as well.
Okay.
So. So then he starts talking about Clone Wars and, you know, he's a super soldier. So he talks about somewhere in here about timelines. You know, that it's not the God of this place. You have to be on the right timeline. So there's just a lot here. And there's just pages and pages of texts. So then he starts, you know, sending more gematria. He's saying it's a military operation.
What is?
He's experiencing in the desert, he's experiencing other timelines. So they called him out to the desert, you know, to get on those other timelines.
Okay.
Okay. As much as I can explain it. And finding his journal indicated different gates. Okay. So.
And he didn't know you read his journal, correct?
Yes.
He does not know that. So you got his journal. You still have it?
I found it after the event.
Oh, okay. And it solidifies all this, correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So he's even writing. This is not something he's just portraying to you. He was also writing this in his journal.
Yes. And he was posting on Facebook. These are my text messages. And then there's a whole journal. Yes. So he starts talking about King's Men. You know, he's talking about Helos being out in the desert. You know, just some just crazy stuff is going on with him at this point.
They're on Helos, new ones, I guess. Fuck it. It was all right. And I was walking. It was at night. I was walking. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. This is happening. Okay. So he's going off the fucking deep end for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So then this was leading up to the event. And I was actually driving at this time. I didn't get this until after. And I had gotten to the hotel. And then I got a call because I worked also where we lived. And so I got a call from my friend and assistant manager. And he said, Monica, where are you?
And Hold on, I just saw that. I guess he wasn't a Biden supporter. He said, let's go, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. He was always a patriot. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So yeah, here's some more gematria that he starts quoting, and he's talking about portals are open.
Sound of freedom. What is that? I know what that is, but that's a movie that my gym's coming out in or is out. But what's it have any relevance to that at all?
That I don't know. I can't tell you. I mean, there's a lot to break down here. Okay.
Gematria. Big changes are coming. Sound of freedom, the throne of God, 12 tribes, portal is open. It's time for God. I am here. Oh boy. Okay.
Okay. So yeah. So, just to let you know, my husband never ever did gematria. So for him to start, texting this to me is a red flag. It's like, there's no explanation for that except for demonic possession.
Okay.
And what I experienced, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. So there's a lot involved in this. So what I wanted to kind of go into is his cybersecurity training. He started doing that as we spoke of a little bit, but I wanted to go into the Rasha and how I believe that is tied into this. So in August, he found out about this new kind of technology, quantum technology, that can help with PTSD and other physical ailments. Okay. So he was approached about this. And so he went, and after his first treatment, he really started changing, and he was getting further agitated. And, you know, my husband always had agitation, but it was different.
Okay.
So he proceeded to go through three treatments. They assigned him a proctor, and this is when he started doing the gematria coding, and he started listening to 880 Hertz music. His whole personality was changing. Okay. So in looking more into this technology, from the words of the creator of the Rasha, he basically says that he died and he found dark matter. okay? And the Rasha means dark matter body. Okay. So I have videos on that too. I've got a video that kind of breaks down in his own words, the creator of this stuff. Okay, so he's linked to NASA, Stanford, CIA, military, all kinds of stuff. So
what's the significance of 880 hertz?
What was that?
What's the significance of 880 hertz?
I don't know.
I know it's a frequency, obviously, but I mean, why 880?
Yeah, because I know like the healing hertz are like around 400, right? Like
yeah, you guys were discussing yeah, I'm yesterday. Not, yeah.
Yeah. So then kind of looking into the Rasha, let me show you a little bit on that. And trying to see, there's so much. Here's some of his journal. I had to hide the numbers, but he had numbers and names of people involved.
Okay.
He had in his journal like five different programs, okay, from military programs to CIA programs. He's talking about portals, gates. Gate C-17, find it now. I mean, there's some very significant shit in his journal.
Okay.
So let me find the stuff on the Rasha really quick here.
His handwriting's worse than mine. And mine's bad.
I know. It's hard to kind of break down. But yeah, so this is the creator, Rasha, and he's on Ageless and Timeless with Michelle Hughes. You can go listen to the whole video, and hopefully your jaw will be on the floor like mine. Because using dark matter, you know who else is using dark matter?
Witchcraft? I don't know. CERN. Ooh, okay. Yeah, so it's like black magic shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Exactly. I'm guessing, right? Am I right on that?
Yes. Actually, they call it also the God particle. So yeah. The thing is that they want to be gods, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And they know how to use dark magic. They've been doing it for thousands of years. So they've been doing this stuff, you know, without us knowing for so long, and now it's in our face. So this guy is sitting here saying that, you know, he wants to take his dark matter body and travel around the universe. Okay. So I can't.
Your husband was listening to this guy.
He went. He had three treatments.
By this man.
Yeah. So here.
By this exact individual, this guy here that I'm looking at?
Yes. This is the creator of the Rasha. So.
Okay. So your husband was in contact with this guy?
Yes.
Okay, so note to self.
It is a treatment that's in spas.
Okay.
So on top of everything else that we're dealing with, it kind of, you know, kind of reminds me of like graphene oxide, you know, that we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
oh, don't say that, please.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
Sorry, okay. But anyway, you know, dark matter is, Elon Musk is talking about dark matter. You know, a lot of scientists are talking about dark matter.
Right.
And, you know, so I don't know if we have time to go into the video, but here's just a little clip on more dark matter stuff. You can find it all over YouTube. So from my understanding of the dark matter, they can actually, I have the brochures here. I took a copy of it. Maybe I'll just show you that because I've got too many different slides here going on. But okay, basically, this is Dr. Jerry. He's an inventor of quantum morphogenic physics with a doctorate in natural medicine from the International Quantum University for Integrative Medicine in Honolulu. Jerry specializes in advanced scalar plasma energy technologies, quantum morphogenic field physics, and the larger paradigm of science known as the 15-dimensional unified field physics. Jerry is currently obtaining his genetics and genomics certificate at Stanford University. Dr. Jerry has several paradigm disruptive peer-reviewed published papers at the International Journal of Science, Scientific and Engineering Research. So basically, he's taking base 12. It's a self-educational system based upon eternal life principles. Okay. So when I found the brochure after the event, because I had to move, but the brochure talked about that. It had nothing. It did not say anything about dark matter. It talked about transmutation. It talked about morphogenic physics, you know, and 12-strand DNA transmutation. Okay, so obviously those treatments that my husband had did something to him. I'm convinced of that.
Okay.
So he had the three treatments starting in August, and then he found the Telegram group in October and became an active shooter and was arrested on October 31st.
Okay.
So
let's get into that. Let's move forward into the shooting. So all this crazy stuff's going on. You're showing what he's involved in. Obviously he's lost his mind, or it's demonic possession.
Correct.
I like to leave a little room for my audience to decide that on their own.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So here we are. Let's talk about the night of the shooting.
Okay. So
let's get to that.
So let's back up to, he's still walking in the desert. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He's still walking in the desert. He comes home 3 hours later and he proceeds to tell me that there's proof. He has it on his phone. They've been sending him pictures of his family, things that he's not shared with anybody that they knew. And
who's they? Who's they?
The Telegram group people.
The Telegram group is sending him pictures of his family. So they're messing with this guy's head pretty bad. Yes. Now, who are these people in the Telegram group? That's the question.
That's the question, yes.
Okay.
So he was showing me on his phone that he had like pictures of when he was a child.
Come on. They sent him pictures of him as a child?
Huh?
They sent him pictures of him as a child?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's creepy. Like, that's creepy.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? And he's like, Monica, this stuff is real. And then he got upset because I'm like, you're being programmed. You need to wake up. You need to.
Holy shit.
Wake up. And he proceeded to tell me that they were trying to convince him that I was a witch when he was out on that walk and to kill me.
Told you this?
Yes.
And he said they were trying to convince me that you're a witch and to kill you.
Yes.
Oh boy.
And so I couldn't sleep all night. He went into the shower, I believe, and I could hear him throwing up like, that reminds me of demonic possession,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he was gagging. Okay. And I was just like so scared. And he proceeded to have conversations with these people all night. And I got up in the morning and I left. And there's a lot to this. Okay. So he was approaching me that him and the group wanted me to start seeking out light workers in our area. And, you know, they were involved with the cryptocurrency and all that stuff going on. And so they were going to bring it to all the local areas because they had several members on there. He even said they had off-planet members on there.
Off-planet members. Was he ever off-planet?
That I don't know. I'm assuming all of the codes and everything that we've found about programs. Mm-hmm. I would believe so, yes, that he was a part of that as well.
We don't know, but you believe that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Based on the programs that he was quoting in his journal and stuff. So then after, so then I left and I went into town. He had set up a meeting for me to go meet with some light workers. And that they were going to be key in this great awakening and, you know, the cryptocurrency for our area. So I went down there begrudgingly and I left, you know, super early in the morning because I wanted to get out of the house. And I went down there and God stopped me in the car. I couldn't get out of the car to go to this meeting. And I had prayed to God. I'm like, God, what is going on? This is way over my head. You know, I need some help. And so I decided that I was going to call other light workers in the area because I didn't want any involvement with maybe what my husband had talked to them about. So I stayed in my car. I could not get out of the car. And I called several light workers and nobody answered. And then I get a call back. And her name is Rachel. And before she could, you know, say, before I could say anything to her, she told me that she had been convicted and that she's turning her life over to Jesus Christ and closing down her New Age practice.
Okay, so she's oh, wow. Okay, so she's no longer a light worker, quote unquote.
Correct. Yeah, she was also.
That is New Age. From what that shit's all New Age crap.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and just the fact that they were really key on bringing in light workers, you know, kind of.
Lucifer's the angel, the angel of light, right?
Yeah, and that's one thing my husband had told me a couple nights before is he's like, Monica, they're revealing who I am, this group.
Right.
He's revealing who I am, and we've been lied to about who Lucifer is. He's really, you know, the
angel. We've been lied to about what?
Huh?
We've been lied to about what?
Lucifer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so... And, you know, at this point, it was like invasion of the body snatchers going on. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on here? And so Rachel gave me her testimony and she knew about MK Ultra. She knew about SRA families. She knew about all this stuff that I was concerned about. So God led me right to her. And right there, we had an instant connection. And she ended up praying for me before the event. And so what happened after that is I ended up going home. In the car ride home, God said, you're not to go in that house. You need to get your stuff and you need to get out. And so I went home.
Right after this phone call you had with her and you just prayed on the phone, correct? So you're driving back to the house. Go ahead. This is crazy. Crazy. I'm
driving back to the house and God is really putting it on my heart. Do not go in there. Stay at the front door. You know, and so I went up to the front door and my husband was peering at me through the bedroom door in the back and I was at the front and I said, can you come here for a minute? And I said, I'm going to need to leave for a few days because these voices are not normal. It's demonic. And God is telling me to tell you that you need to fight. And you need to understand that you are being programmed. And I was convinced at that time that he had a gun behind the door, the bedroom door, because he had to put something down before he came out and talked to me. And so I grabbed my dog. I usually don't grab my dog. And I left. And I went to a hotel. And so then I'm at the hotel and I had just kind of walked in the door. I believe I hadn't been there very long. And I get a call and it's the assistant manager, like frantic. Where are you, Monica? Complex. Huh?
Of the apartment complex that you lived in? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, Monica, where are you? I said, and he's like, are you okay? And he's like frantic. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. God told me that I needed to leave the house. There's some things going on.
When did this happen? When did he call you? How much longer after you left that place?
This happened on the 30th.
No, I know that. Okay. All right. Okay.
So I had been at a hotel and then I got the call on the 30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the shooting took place the 31st.
It was ongoing and then he was arrested on the 31st.
Okay. Okay.
So it started on the 30th and I left.
Sorry if I'm interrupting you, but you left to the hotel, on the 30th or the 29th?
The 29th.
You left to the hotel on the 29th. You get a call on the 30th from your apartment manager saying, where are you? Are you okay?
Yes.
What time on the 30th?
It was probably towards the evening. So.
Okay. So sometime in the evening. All right.
Yeah, probably like 6 o'clock or somewhere around there. And so I get that call and he says, Monica, are you okay? And then I told him and he said, Monica, the police are here. They want to talk to you. And so I got on the call and they said, we're here to investigate your call. You know, the call from your husband had said that you were shot, that he shot and killed you, and that he's getting ready to have a firefight with the police. And I said, I'm fine. You know, obviously he's like, obviously you're fine. You're in a hotel, but what's going on with your husband? And so, you know, I kind of gave him the backstory of what was going on. And he told me, he said, well, we're not going to engage him right now because we haven't heard any shots fired. So we're just going to see how this plays out. We don't want to go and engage him. He's highly, you know, combat trained. So yeah. we just, you know, let's just see how this goes, basically. And so not very long after, they called, the assistant manager called me again and said, Monica, there were shots fired. They're going in. And so that began the
Now, when you say shots fired, do you know how he fired him? Did he shoot at the police or was he just shooting inside the apartment?
He was shooting inside the apartment. He had shot the upstairs apartment, and God was all over this because not one person was harmed. So usually the upstairs neighbors would have been, their mother would have been in that bed. She wasn't there. So, you know, just, you know, the neighbors. So it started into hours and hours of, I had to do a negotiation tape to try and get him to negotiate with the police. We didn't know where
he has nobody hostage. He's just in there shooting fire. He's just shooting shots within the apartment at this time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, there was like, let's see how many people would have been in my apartment complex. So there were like 4 apartments on the one side of, you know, where we live, and then 4 on the other. So there were 8 total apartments. So for hours, we didn't know where my neighbor was. They couldn't find my neighbor. So I had to go through, you know, just the trauma of not knowing if the neighbor was dead. And then they had to wait to try and find the neighbor before they could interact with my husband.
Yeah.
So they called in 2 SWAT teams. They had to close down the power or shut down the power. They had helicopters flying everywhere.
But your husband never came out and engaged with him, right?
No, he didn't. So this is the stranger part of the story, is that, so I did the negotiation, you know, message to him, and they had to get a search warrant. They had to wait to find the neighbor to make sure that he was okay and not injured. And then they were trying to find the upstairs neighbors. So, you know, they have to go about it, you know, the right way, you know, right, through the right channels. So we were kind of on hold just waiting to see what was going to happen. And so this whole time Rachel was praying with me, you know, through this event, you know, that we were just praying that, you know, nobody was going to be hurt and all this. So then later he was, the cop called me and said, hey, what time does your husband go to sleep? Go to sleep. He's not going to go to sleep in an event like this. So basically they weren't picking up any movement in the apartment. Okay. So then after that, what happened was that, you know, they were trying to go negotiate with him back and forth. And, you know, it turned out that he wasn't even in the apartment.
But there were shots fired in the apartment.
Yes.
So how was he not in the apartment?
Somehow he was able to get out of the apartment. So here leads me to believe, you know, like what you were talking about is like
time. Did he go out through a back window or something?
I have no idea.
Was the apartment surrounded or what? I mean,
for them not to see him with helicopters flying everywhere and two SWAT teams and all of this going down, you know, he also called in to 911 a couple of times, okay, saying that he was getting ready to engage with them. So
he said he killed you.
Yes.
He told 911 that he killed you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then he's not, how do they know he's not in the apartment? They walked into the apartment. They
had to use, I guess they use certain scanners, you know, to know, you know, right, if there's movement or not or whatnot. And so after 7 hours, they told me that they were getting ready to do a lethal blow into the apartment. They had gotten, you know, their search warrants and, you know, everything that they needed. And they're going to do a lethal blow into the apartment. Now, at this point, I thought my husband was already dead because there's no movement.
Maybe they thought he took his life or something.
Yeah. So
do you want to stop sharing? Do you need to share the screen anymore? Do you want to not share it?
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just go to just stop share.
Hold on. I got to find it. There we go.
The top. Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Yeah. So at this point, they're getting ready to go in. They've got two SWAT teams, headed towards the back of the patio area, and they're going to do a water bomb so that it doesn't affect the rest of the apartments, just ours, but that would be lethal to my husband. And so we're gearing up for that. And
so when you say they're going to kill your husband, so what's a water bomb? I don't even know what that is.
It's basically, I guess, like a high pressure bomb that has so much pressure at a certain distance that, you know, it's lethal, but that it won't affect the other apartments. It will stay within the apartment.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they're getting ready to go in. They're all geared up. Seconds before they go in, my husband comes up behind them like he doesn't know what's going on.
Okay.
And he's upset because he doesn't know why everybody's there. So, yeah, it's crazy. So where was he? How did he get out of the apartment? You know, so many questions here.
They heard the gunshots in the apartment, though.
I don't know if they heard them or not, but the upstairs neighbor.
Could he have called and said he was in the apartment and been somewhere else? I mean,
I don't think so. I don't know, because the neighbor upstairs had verified, it's like, I have bullet holes through my floor and in my bed.
Okay, so he shot up into, okay, so someone was in there shooting. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so then on October 31st, he is taken into custody after he comes out of nowhere, after, you know, we have SWAT team there, we have helicopters there. He's just walking around the apartment complex. So
bizarre. That's so bizarre.
Very bizarre. Very bizarre. So, yeah. So then he's taken into custody.
And then he's acting like he doesn't know what's going on.
Correct. He was upset. Yeah. So then, you know, they had to take an account of all of the weapons that he had and, you know, all that. And then one was missing. And so for like 24 hours, they couldn't find it. And it ended up being over by a school that was close by us, somewhere very close to that school. And so, yeah, they finally found it because I kept on calling in and I said, you have to find that weapon. You have to find it. And, you know, because I was talking to God. I'm like, God, it could be anywhere in the desert. I have no idea where this weapon is, but I don't want it left out there just in case somebody else is involved in this, you know, yeah, kind of thing. So his personality started changing greatly when he started doing the Rasha treatment. The creator of Rasha, we kind of went into that, but the person that built the Rasha beds and technology was also involved with NASA. So there's a lot of key pieces here. And when you go into to that video that I told you about, the ageless, timeless, he's talking about some of the stuff that my husband's talking about in his journal and his texts and stuff like this. So he also did, I think, one of his main thesis on the Anunnaki. So, you know, and you know what he's talking about in there. It's kind of crazy. So
how many years did your husband get? How long is he serving in prison for?
Don't know yet. It's been very frustrating.
Waiting to get sentenced right now?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Okay, so he's been in there since October of last year.
Yes.
Now, you watched the show that I did with Jesse and Laura Singer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. So let me ask you this, Monica. So you feel that your husband was part of an MK Ultra program?
Yes.
To become an active shooter, right? Okay, so let me ask you this. You know the show that we did on ninoscorner.tv with Jesse and Laura was about frequencies.
Yes.
And you're saying that these frequencies, in your mind, are going to activate sleeping cells within the United States, and it's already right. happening, and these mm-hmm. sleeping cells are... not necessarily all of them are super soldiers, but children that they're being MK altered and they'll be activated through a frequency to shoot, right? To become an active shooter. Can yes. you explain on that?
Well, after looking into Russ Dizdar's and, you know, book Black Awakening, and from, you know, my just personal experience through this with his son in 2014, doing the same thing. And also in October, you know, it's just like these dates are crazy. So I started kind of looking into Russ Dizdar, and God was wanting me to, you know, share my story and what happened. And Russ Dizdar breaks it down. He says there's thousands of sleepers, and that we need to get countermeasures. You know, we need to, this is part of, you know, what God wants is he wants, you know, everything needs to be exposed in this time. Okay. It can't stay hidden anymore. Okay. Because there's a lot of these SRA families and, you know, they believe in this wholeheartedly. And so Russ Dizdar breaks this down, you know, because they're going to try and usher in, you know, Satan's kingdom. That's total fight between, you know, God, good and evil, God and Satan. So what he kind of breaks down is how detailed and how specific, you know, these jobs are, you know, and there's a lot, you know, on supersoldier.com or supersoldiertalk.com, you know, and stuff like that, where they're talking about this. And so it's not for me to, you know, scare people and say, oh, you know, just another thing they're going to hit us with. It's to, you know, to know that God's in control. He's exposing this because obviously, you know, I made it through two active shooting events. And, you know, I also have my own childhood story.
And that's what's crazy is that your stepson was first. He was first in almost having an active shooting, right? They caught him before. So your stepson was first and then your husband.
And yeah,
your husband and God was part of a satanic ritual occult family.
Yep.
Bloodline.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And God told me in 2014, I didn't know why, but he told me that I needed to fast and pray. And they had a fast and prayer group going on at the church that we were going to at the time. And I went and fasted and prayed. I'd never fasted before. And I was there praying my heart out. And sure enough, you know, after the event that happened, the police said, they go, this is a miracle nobody was killed, because this is not usually how this plays out, you know,
with active shooting events.
It's not. And so God had his hand in that the whole time. I mean, everything leading up to the shooting, everything.
It was. And you believe wholeheartedly this was MK Ultra, this was demonic possession, and nothing to do with mental illness?
No. No, and that's the thing, David.
I guess they go hand in hand.
Who created mental illness? Because in the Bible, it talks about demonic possession and Jesus.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I believe everything is. This is a spiritual war all the way, and I agree with you.
It is a spiritual war.
Yeah, it is. I think. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just want to clarify for my audience. I'm trying to cover all the bases, you know.
Yeah. No worries. Yeah. And so, you know, for this to happen again and for nobody to be hurt again, come on, seriously, yeah. You know, what are the, you know, no. So, and, you know, all of my research and, you know, you really have to understand what this quantum, and the scary thing is that I believe everything God is meaning for good, the devil's going to try and take and copy, mm-hmm. right? So we also have to be aware. We're hearing a lot about light beds. We're hearing about this stuff. We really have to do our research and ask God for discernment, because if I knew that they were using dark matter to put in my husband at a spa therapy treatment, so to speak, I'd be
You're saying these spa therapy treatments are everywhere. I think I've heard of them.
Yes.
So it's like the new thing. Is it like the new age healing thing? Is these.
Yes.
Dark matter treatment. That's what it's called. Or it's called Rasha.
It's called Rasha. And they talk about eternal life possibilities. They talk about transmutation, 12 strand DNA transmutation. So here we are talking about DNA, right? So what are they planning to do with our DNA? It's, you see it everywhere. It's like, you know, with this and, you know, everything going on, it's like, is this just another way that they're going to try and hit us? Is this dark matter that they're going to put into your, you know, mind, body, and spirit, remove you from God?
I've had Andrew Billings on talking about that, the God particle, God DNA, and you're made perfectly, and this is interrupting the sequence. I've had Andrew Billings on talking about that. I need to get him back on.
So I know I've done the research on this one. I don't know about all light beds. I don't know, you know, I believe that, you know, I want to believe there's quantum healing that's, you know, not of this nature, but all I can tell you is that from his own words, he's speaking about that. And there are people now, because we're getting so much thrown at us in this day and age, that it's like they're open. This new age is like, oh, we're open to dark matter. This sounds wonderful. Yeah. Where can I sign up? What? That wouldn't be first on my list. I had Spidey sense all over that, you know?
Yeah.
And they're going to use, I do believe they're going to use this stuff, because do I believe that my husband knew that he was going to be doing this stuff? I don't. I believe that he was MK Ultra, and I believe that there were words through that Telegram cybersecurity group. I believe that there was words and codes and frequencies, of course, through this, the Rasha treatment, you know, with dark matter. So, you know, there's so much here, and then all this text messages, all the journal, you know, it just goes on and on, that this can't be just, you know, coincidence, right?
And these Rasha treatment centers are all over the place. So you're saying big red flag on these places.
I would check into it. It's Bioregenesis University, okay, .com. And we've done some deep dives. I've been on Dave Zublik's show, and it kind of, we go really into the details here. And so I've got videos, I got everything, you know, and if you want me to share that, I totally can, but it's pretty mind blowing.
Let's get you on for another segment.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're telling us right in front of us now what they're doing. And he's also talking about uploading to the cloud. Who else was talking about uploading to the cloud?
Yeah.
Noah, or what was his name? Noah Jory Harari.
Yeah.
I think Harari, I'm saying
that's right. He comes out as Homo Deus. He wants to create Homo Deus.
Yes.
Which is Homo sapiens, transhumanism, Homo Deus.
Okay, so this is this Rasha treatment. I mean, the video will blow your mind that they're just telling you what they're doing. Now, the
you want to play the video? You want to play the video? Can you play the video?
Yeah.
Play it. Share the screen and play it.
Okay.
Hopefully we have volume on it. Sometimes that happens.
All right. Just give me a minute. I got to take down the time frames here. It's like, I'll try and break it down to like 10 minutes or so.
Well, how long is the video?
It's an hour.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it.
But we can just do like, just to give you a taste of it. To see why, you know, why I think this is all connected, that might be helpful.
I mean, I thought it was like a minute advertisement. I didn't know it was going to be an hour long video.
I could just give you segments. I've got the first segment is like 3 minutes.
Let's do the first segment.
Okay. So that kind of introduces.
Yeah, just give my audience a taste of what this shit is.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, I did it again. Sorry.
Okay.
This. Might be able to get it here. Let's try it.
And you gotta lift it up.
Hold on 1 second. Let me make it bigger. Okay. They also have a foundation. Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to get it big enough for you guys to see.
That's good.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go a little bit into this so that you can get his story here.
Okay. I can't hear it.
Can you hear it now? No?
No. That's okay.
I don't know why. Here, I can do this. Hold on. Let me go here.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
You know what? Don't worry about it. If it doesn't pull up immediately, then don't worry about it.
It's right here.
Okay. I don't see anything pulled up though.
No? All right. Well,
yeah,
I don't know why it's not showing.
We'll do it another time. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and end this broadcast here. And I want to say thank you. I'll put this up. I'm going to go ahead and put this up on YouTube, at least for a little while. I'm going to risk it. I'll premiere it tonight. So Monica B, thank you so much for joining me. Interesting story. And I mean, it raises a lot of questions for me. I'm like, what's really going on?
Yeah. I just want to say and end with God's in control. We're awakening to this stuff. We just have to do our research. We got to pray for discernment and, you know, that's what it is. We're just exposing it all. We're not just going to, you know, take people's word for what's going on. You know, we can do the research and figure it out on our own. And we've got great patriots and, you know, we've got to keep our Second Amendment rights. We've got to do all that stuff. So, but it's just time for exposure. They've been running this stuff way too long.
Yeah, it's definitely coming to a climax.
It is.
And the next few months are going to be brutal. I know it. So it's coming down to the wire. And I believe we're going to pull out of this. You know, it's going to be ugly, though.
Yeah. But as long as we see it and we give it over to God, you know, we need to start to go to the courts of heaven, and we need to petition our case with God and, you know, put on the full armor of God every day. I'm doing that every day, and he's giving me, you know, protection to be able to share my story, and he wants this story shared, you know. And it's just really important in this day and age. We just stay in prayer, stay close to God. This new age has, you know, there's a lot to it. And, you know, we need to have those conversations.
Thank you, Monica. Where can folks catch you or reach you?
You can find me at mlbfirefly.com. I'm going to be on R3 TV Ministries. Coming up here soon, talking about my story and how I'm arming myself every day with the armor of God. I have Psalm 91 on my sword. I can see it every day. So that's what God gave me to be able to share this story out. So I know there's a lot to it. You know, there's so much to this because there was so many different, you know, areas involved in this. So yeah, but thank you, David, for having me on. I've been watching you for a long time.
You're welcome. And if you ever want to come on again, just reach out and we can talk about some of the missions maybe your husband were on. I don't know. Be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I'd like to share that video too. So I'll send it to you too, David, so you can check it out. I'll give you the time frames. I don't know why it wasn't working today. I apologize.
But don't even worry about it. All right, yeah. Monica, thank you so much, and let's keep in touch.
All right, take care.
God bless you.